ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Vision of the Lord and the opposite, those who have the opposite. Those who have the opposite vision of those who have the vision of the Lord, they have a different vision, which is not sight, it's asat. They don't see the sat veda, the differences. Madhvacharya always used to stress differences. What are the differences? Ishvara jiva, Ishvara jara, jara jiva, jiva jiva, jara jara. These are different kinds of differences. Madhvacharya stressed difference. He pointed out Dvaitava, two-ness. There's difference between Ishvara and jara, the Supreme Lord and the material world. There's difference between Ishvara and jiva, the Supreme Lord and the living entities. There's difference between jiva and jiva, one jiva and another. The difference between jiva and jara, between the living beings and the material energy. Five kinds of difference. And there's svagata bhed, vigata bhed, means difference between two different objects. And then similar objects, there's differences between. It's like one cow has another cow, but there's difference between two cows. Or there's differences in my body, there's the hand and the leg, even though it's one compact unit. So in this way he was pointing out the differences. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnanam Jana Shalaka Chakshurin Nilitam Yena Tasman Shigurane Vande Vam Shigurashita Parakamalam Shigurandha Vaishnavamascha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sankhitam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parajana Saitam Krishna Tikanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahadana Nalita Shri Krishna Shri Krishna Titani Bhagavan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. But in the Supreme Lord there are no such differences because He is one with everything. And even His hand can do the same work as His leg. He can eat with His ears. He can hear with his eyes, but generally he eats with his mouth. He is the Supreme Lord. He can do any function with any limb. Angani yatya saparendriya vritti manti pashanti pandi kalayati chirandrut. So he can do everything with any part of him, with any limb, but generally he eats with his mouth, speaks with his mouth, hears with his ears, walks on his legs, and so on. Now, difference. Point difference. Who knows how to see different? Difference should be seen and non-difference should be seen. Those who are affected by shoka, harsha, haya, visha, loha, mada, moha, they don't see properly. Now, here we see that the Sanskrit word see, they see, pashyanti, is being used here in the sense that it's used in English also. Not exactly the physical sense of seeing, but the sense of interpreting what you see. Everyone sees, except those who are physically blind. The atheist says, show me God, but even if you show him, he can't see him. Even if he sees the form of God in front of him, he can't see. Because seeing is not simply a reflection on the eyeball, or impact on the eyeball, but it's an interpretation of what we see. That when we say it in English, I see, means I understand. So what we see, how we interpret what we see, this is the subject of philosophy. So how to see clearly? Those who are foolish, they cannot see. If those who see through the eyes which they see, what do they see? Who knows the beginning of that verse? That the living being transmigrates from body to body to body. Those who rely on their power of seeing to see cannot see this. But those who see through the eye of Shastra, they see it. Understand it through the eye of Shastra. But those who are influenced by Shoka, Harsha, Bhaya, Visha, Lopa, Moha, Mada, all these bad qualities which cover the soul, they cover the ability to see actually what is what. It's different people will see the same situation and interpret it in a different way. If you read the Indian press about what's going on in Kashmir and the Pakistani press, you'll get a different impression. Because they see it from a different viewpoint. That Chanakya Pandit has given the example that the same object, namely a beautiful woman, is seen in different ways. The same form is seen, but the lusty man sees this is something for me to enjoy. The sadhu sees something of no significance to him, just like a dead body. Living or dead, he has the same attraction. He's neither repulsed by a dead body or not attracted. He's neither repulsed by a beautiful body nor attracted. And an animal like a dog or a tiger may see as some nice food. There's no concern whether it's beautiful or not. It doesn't consider such a thing. It's just for him, it's flesh. That's all. It's the same object, but it's viewed in different ways. According to the bhava, according to the way of thinking of it, the attitude one has adopted. So the Supreme Lord, who is the object of love for all living beings, is the object of hatred for those who have viparita buddhi, those whose intelligence is turned around to be opposite to what it should be. Here we have the example of Devaki and Vasudeva, the pure devotees, whose their pure love for Krishna is unobstructed by shoka, harsha, maya, ityāni. But the demons represented by Kamsa, he's a Mahāja, representative of the demons, his attitude towards Krishna is one of hatred, because bhayam nidhiya vinivesha tasya Ishādhavitya Sintikāya Yaspati. But this call it Paya, fear. Fear here is stated representing all the material qualities. If one is in the atmosphere of fear, if he's not nirbhaya, if he's not at the fearless lotus feet of Krishna, then he comes to the material energy and his avinivesha, his concept of life changes to that of the opposite. It's natural for us to love Krishna, but when we come to the material atmosphere, then that changes completely. Just like we expect, we're not surprised when we hear someone say, I love my mother. But if we hear someone say, I hate my mother, I want to kill her, stab her. It's unusual. It seems unnatural. It is unnatural. Same way, it's natural for us to love Krishna. But if we are envious of Krishna, we deny Krishna. If the name of Krishna, as it does in some people, if you say the name Krishna, it's not so common in India, but in the West you get that, or the name God. Some people, they become angry, upset, it agitates them, even to speak of God. Or if you're chanting, even in India, say some chanting, why are you chanting? Why are you saying the name? You know, why do you want to give a name to God? No name. They become agitated and angry. It means they're in an unnatural situation. Just like someone saying, I hate my mother, I want to kill my mother, I want to stab her, don't talk about my mother. Unnatural situation. So they're seeing that is perverted. If someone says, I hate my mother, then you think, it's a perverted way of thinking. Maybe they need to get some psychiatric treatment. They're not in a normal way of thinking. So in the same way, if someone hates Krishna, or is not grateful for Krishna, no attraction to Krishna, they're in a perverted way of thinking. They're not seeing properly. They've got the wrong concept of life, which acts against their own self-interest, because while we say, it says here that those who are covered by shoka, harsha, bhaya, dvisha, this is the, dvisha means this, bad feeling, asadbhavan, often we hear sadbhavan, good feeling, good will, so those who have asadbhavan, bad will, dvish, bad feelings towards the Supreme Lord, they cannot understand it. But how do those bad, they can't understand him, but the very act of turning away from him causes all these other qualities to come. So that both this envy of the Lord is both cause and effect of his not being able to understand him. Krishna Pudhi Sejiv Anadi Kahimu. When we want to forget Krishna, then we become inimical to him. Because there's no way to forget Krishna unless we're inimical to him. It's not possible. If you think I'll just forget Krishna, it's not possible, because it's our natural tendency very strongly to love Krishna, just like the strong tendency of is for a magnet to attract iron. So our very strong tendency is to be attracted by Krishna. So it's not possible to forget Krishna simply by becoming neutral. One has to become envious of him. One has to make the endeavor to run in the opposite direction. Only then can one escape the love of Krishna, which is madness, because it's the cause of our suffering in this material world. So that wish or that envy of Krishna gives rise to so many other bad qualities, some of which are listed here. False jubilation, lamentation, fear, illusion, madness. This, it's all a package to you. You can't be envious of Krishna and expect to be happy. All these qualities will come. These bad qualities are in themselves the cause of our suffering. Sometimes, you see, the illusion is so strong that people try to encourage these bad qualities, especially in the modern demoniac society. They try to encourage it as if this is something that's going to make you happy. Especially in the modern society, they're cultivating the Hindi films, they're cultivating this mood of be nasty, be mean, be rude. In the Western movies, you also see this. I can never say that guy. I think he's out of fashion now. This Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's his name? He went out of fashion. I don't think that. Anyway, I happen to be on a what's that? Airport. Where they were showing. So, I think it was him. I mean, some guy with some body about 6 times bigger than anyone. So you see him just. Someone's talking in a phone booth, and this guy Arnold Schwarzenegger walks up, and he just pulled it. No, he just picked the guy up by the neck and pulled him out, and he started using the phone. So this kind of attitude, he wanted to use the phone, but he didn't want to wait for the phone. So this kind of attitude, they're encouraging. Demoniac attitude that if you're like this, this will make you happy. This is the way to be. Don't care for anyone. Be rude, be nasty, be mean. They're encouraging, but actually these qualities, they cause distress. The divine qualities, they lead to, even in the material world, those who cultivate good qualities, they're relatively happy. But if you cultivate such qualities, be mean, nasty, don't care for anything, then no one cares for you. But if they care for you, it's only by fear. There's no love. And when you come to the bottom line of everything, love is all in it. In the words of mankind. Ultimately, that is our prime need, love, love for Krishna. But if we have hatred of Krishna, or bad feelings towards Krishna, then we'll have bad feelings towards everyone else. Why are we suffering? Why do we have problems? You see, then so many devotees come, this problem, that problem. What's the ultimate cause? We don't love Krishna. You may say, well, it's because of this, or it's because of that, or often it's because of him. He is the problem of mine. He is the cause of my problems. But actually, the cause is that we don't love Krishna. It's the ultimate cause of our problems. It manifests in so many different ways. Shoka, harsha, maya, dvesha. So many different ways. Problems are caused. But the ultimate cause is that we don't love Krishna. Now here it's very interesting that Vasudeva is speaking his high philosophy to Kamsa, and Kamsa's agreeing, at least superficially. But that's it, it's only superficial, because you'll find the next thing Kamsa calls together all his ministers and says, hey, what's going on? There's some problem. The eighth child of Devaki was supposed to kill me, and then what happened? The child is born somewhere else. Okay, what do you suggest we do? See, just he was with Vasudeva, he's talking all nice philosophy and everything's caused by providence, and yes, let's be good and let's be nice. And then he went back again to his bad association, and he said that the Durga had said that this child, the girl child born of Devaki, said your killer is born somewhere else. So what we'll do, you had the plan to kill all of Devaki's children so that the child wouldn't kill him. So now the child is born somewhere else, so the solution is we'll kill all the children that have been born recently. Demonia. That's what he thought. To protect myself, I'll kill all the children who have been born elsewhere. Completely demonic. Even though now he's talking such nice high philosophy with Vasudeva. So sometimes we see that we'll speak to people and they'll say, yes, yes, that's true, your philosophy is very nice, but then you go away and the next second they're just back to their completely demoniac ways. Even people may superficially agree with what you say. They'll stop and think about it. But then they'll just go on with their smoking, drinking, exploiting others, completely interested only where is money with them, as if that was the only thing in life. So we were discussing about, well, how to preach. Preaching means changing people's lives. Even then, you see, even here, Kamsa is agreeing with what Vasudeva is saying. But he's not changing his life. His life was only possible to change by death. That was the only way to change Kamsa. Krishna did that. The only way he was going to stop oppressing others was to be given transference to another body. And even then, the attitude may continue. It's not, sometimes people think, well, kill the person to get rid of the problem. It doesn't. Because it continues, they'll continue on another sphere. Or even we discuss the providence here, if you think someone is harassing you, get rid of them or shut them up. But the problem will come because you're destined to get it. Therefore, Vasudeva is speaking this. He himself is a living emblem of accepting providence, that he very peacefully stayed under the oppression of Kamsa. We don't find any record of him protesting to Krishna. Krishna was born in four hands. We don't find the Vasudeva saying, hey, you're my son and you're God, and why don't you get us out of this prison? He didn't think of such a thing. He simply thought how to protect Krishna. Then he went back to the prison to face the wrath of Kamsa. He didn't ask Krishna, deliver me from this situation. He was ready to accept whatever difficulties, even knowing that the Supreme Lord is his own son. Whereas Kamsa, as a typical demon, his whole life is a record of how he's trying to manipulate and control the situation for sense gratification and ultimately failing. He's a very major demon, therefore his failure in trying to control material energy came through the agency of Krishna directly. But otherwise it comes through the agency of the material energy. Everyone's trying to control the material nature in various ways. But ultimately, they are controlled. their apparent control is only apparent. As you see, there are so many cases of people think I'm in control of the situation, but then it just collapses. There are so many instances. Harshad Mehta, famous name, who was manipulating the stock market and making a lot of money, and then all of a sudden, forgot about him already? Yeah, but all of a sudden, well, the rug was pulled from under him and he had to suffer. He had to suffer considerably for some time. The cancer wasn't suffering. He was in prison with jaundice. Anyway, there are so many instances of someone who's on top of the world and then they have to suffer. They're pulled down. Some of them, Prabhupada gave the example of Napoleon of France, who conquered here and conquered there. But then ultimately he was in a situation he had to drink horses urine. He was on the battlefield, there's nothing else. He was exiled and he died in ignominy on Corsica. He was in exile. He was British, put him down. So even though he was such a great, the great emperor, Napoleon, he had to be humiliated. So that is the nature of material life. Those who can see, they can start to improve themselves. Those who don't see, they'll think that material life is very nice. And even though they're suffering from shoka, lamentation, which naturally follows jubilation in material life, jubilation is naturally followed by shoka, shoka harsha. Because you become jubilant when you get something or you achieve something, but you can't keep it, and then you lament. Therefore, Krishna says, those na shochati na kamshati, those who don't anger and those who don't lament, they are happy. You're always shoka, lamenting, you're lamenting for something I didn't get, or you're lamenting for something I got and I lost. That is material life. The whole of material life means sometimes you have a little jubilation, like when you get something that you want, but then you're always lamenting for something that more than you want, that you didn't get. And you see, even the top business executives who have so much money, that they are still hankering. So Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma, na shochati, na kamchati, samasarveshu bhuteshu. Then, Bhakti Navarthi. This is the position of happiness. I just saw something very interesting came through. There's one story of one American Harvard Business School graduate was in India. He was in big city, and he saw a man coming from the village in a bullock cart with mangoes. So he thought this is quite primitive, so he stopped him and asked him. It's a theoretical story. The man speaks, they're speaking, it's not a joke, speaking English. Well, I guess it's a joke. So he said, Harvard business graduate, he said to him, you're coming in on a bullock cart with these mangoes, doesn't seem to be very advanced. Maybe I can give you some advice how to improve your situation. Tell me, what is your situation? Well, he says, I have a mango garden and I come in once a week to the market and bring mangoes, and I have little ground for cultivation and cow. And he said, well, what do you do with your day? I mean, you could be making more money, probably. He said, well, you know, I have a very full life, you know. In the morning I work in the garden, in my fields, and once a week I come into the market, and then in the afternoon I take a little rest, and then in the evening I spend a little time with my children, playing with them, and in the evening I go into the village and have a little lassi to drink, and meet with my friends, and say, what? You're wasting so much of your time. What you should do, you should take a bank loan, get some more land, invest, and then you could maybe increase, and you could buy a huge estate and have big mangoes and export them and make pickles and jam, and you could become a multi-millionaire. said, well, what would be the benefit of that? And how much time would it take? I said, well, it would probably take about 20 years to become a multi-millionaire. And what would be the benefit? I said, well, then you could retire, and then you could just peacefully enjoy life, and you could, you know, have time to spend with your kids and your friends. And said, well, I'm already doing it. I don't need to have a multi-millionaire. I do a little work and I have time. But the multi-millionaire has to work like an ass for 25 years so that he can have time to do what he likes. But the Vedic or the natural way of life is to live a very simple life, not work like an ass. And then you automatically get all these things side by side. Actually, if you have so much free time, you become bored anyway. If you don't have some work, and if you have only work, then you become frustrated. So the natural, simple way of life is you do some work, and you have spare time. And spare time you use for cultivating Krishna consciousness, and it's also social life. It's also the Kriyastas. You have time to spend with their friends, their family, and children. Usually the time spent playing with their children is separate from the Bhagavatam. So I guess you're a busy business executive, so you have to put the two things together. So anyway, Chan Hare Krishna. Huh? He came from your mother's belly, from your wife's belly. In Bengali, that's one way of saying a woman, if she, I'm a pig at you. A woman says, I have a stomach, it means I'm pregnant. Vairakam bala hoy na Bangalai? Garbhavati, mane pig. In Mayala Balta Pare, I'm a pig at you. Mane bacha ache pig. All right, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Let's space down faster. What is better, for poor children, for poor families to have many children, or to use some form of artificial birth control? They have many children, they can't look after them properly. Then they don't understand the purpose of. They don't understand why you should have self-restraint as birth control, because the whole propaganda of society is opposite. They can't, even if they can understand it, it's difficult for them to take it up. So maybe a little artificial birth control, considering the modern circumstances, isn't such a bad thing. Probably a lot of devotees in our movement are doing. Can't afford it, can't look after them. Seems practical, doesn't it? Simple. That's the problem. Get a simple reaction. I just got a letter from a disciple who, more or less, you know, without, more or less, you know, saying that having an artificial birth control. And then something came in from, anyway, it's quite controversial. From one of our centers where the devotees are doing some welfare work. No, not donating blood. Village uplift and coordinating with foreign societies like Red Cross. Social uplift. In the villages around, and then cooperating with the Red Cross, and you know, if you want to get Red Cross loans, you have to support their programs like artificial birth control.
What
tell it's one way of earning money, does it? They're doing that in the garden? Well, working for a city corp also isn't free doing.
That's true.
Practically nothing they're doing is free doing, even though they pride themselves on being South Indian Brahmins. Their lifestyle is about as far removed from having their meals and their piety. Their vritti is absolutely removed. They're working for absolute malechas. And probably, you know, working for city corp means they're financing.
They finance
slaughterhouses. Probably, I'm sure city, all these big corporations.
Grocery stores.
But the money for all these drugs and everything, I'm sure they're not, you know, they're, you know, they've got a big halo on their head. Where's all this money? Indirectly, but definitely slaughterhouses, arms. Not these arms. These arms. That's what I'm saying. Laundering money means drugs and so many things. Not directly either. Better than Switzerland. So anyway, the point is that here is that you're talking about blood donation. I mean, everything else they're doing is far removed from Vedic culture, so why insist on this? Long way removed.
Someone takes initiation and he or she is in the pastor.
We have quite a few air hostesses and stewardesses. Several. There are quite a few initiated devotees.
And I guess this air hostess, which is made by Dave, and this girl, a dream vegetarian, and I every day eat, every morning, I eat with the bottom, and it's very high. So I said, we won't have any.
They have a separation in their brain between their principles and their jobs.
Right.
It's the law of economic necessity.
This businessman also, you know, you're selling meat in your supermarket. Well, that's it.
Yeah. James, they'll put meat, they'll put buffalo fat in the dalda. They'll never take it. Never consider taking stores, newspaper stores. They all have. They all have pornographic magazines. Sorry, what?
In this regard, I have one question.
Oh.
He said that some of our companies are serving as and they are serving as beef and things and all that. But in Bhagavad Gita, it is Krishna says that one should not give up one muscular activity, even if it is full of vice.
That means in the Vanashram system. There's no prescribed duty for being an air hostess. Prescribed duty means they should have been married when they were 8 years old, according to the Vanashram system. Before puberty. Not necessarily 8, but at least by 11. So it's the same thing. It's the pressure of economic necessity, modern life. What can you do? Therefore, Prabhupada wanted to set up alternative society. So we don't have, it's easy for us to say all these things, but for those who have to make a living, difficult for them to be free from it. So unless and until we have an alternative living arrangement, I guess our devotees are going to be serving beef on airplanes. I mean, I personally advise someone to try and get a different job. It's not so easy to get jobs. Now they computerized everything, so that took up so many jobs. The more technology advances, the less jobs there are. Because that's what machines, they do the jobs which people used to do. Had a question? Yeah, I had that experience once with a man who's been associated with our devotees for about a year, and he's chanting, I think, 16 rounds for some time now. And he was asking me about what project he should do for his PhD, and he was going to do something about improving the economic condition of farmers. And I said to him that they're not going to become more happy if they get more money. And the look of complete disbelief on his face, even though he's chanting 16 rounds, reading Prabhupada's book, complete disbelief that money's going to make you happy. So it's difficult because people are foolish. How can you convince? Again, it's not just a matter of philosophy that's going to convince people. You can be as right as right as right. We are right. But it's not actually philosophy which convinces so much that is there, but people with the association of devotees, but they have to be influenced by the purity of the devotee, and we'll see that. But you know, Thakur says that by association with devotees, many people gave up bad habits such as wasting time, chewing tobacco, and so on. It's by association, by the philosophy, of course, but this point is here that Kamsa can't see the same thing that Vasudev can see, because he has a different outlook on life. So when one's outlook on life is changed, or when his consciousness becomes somewhat purified by association with God, then he can understand the philosophy and act on it. So philosophy is that is required. But it's what's going on when we're preaching. I was talking yesterday about soul-to-soul resuscitation. It's a dynamic process going on between two people. It's not like playing chess, two computers, one against another, who can defeat the other. It's heart to heart. Put your hand in your mouth. You should go and wash it immediately. Immediately means you should have been up there. Hare Krishna.